Yeah, hi, my name is Oren Langell. I work with the Circa also. Before we get into some of the local stuff, I'd like to just add a few other things that probably most of you remember that in April that the Free Trade Area of the Americas was discussed pretty heavily up in Quebec City, and those of us here in Vermont played a very good role of getting people up across the border to protest up in Quebec City. But since then, there's been so many other things going on, not only just with the Free Trade Area of the Americas. It's just like whenever you turn around, the neoliberals hit you with another thing. Right after the FTAA, we were hit with Plan Pueblo Panama, and we had to start mobilizing about this. As soon as we start mobilizing on Plan Pueblo Panama, a new thing just came up called the Central American Free Trade Agreement, CAFTA. Yesterday, George Bush was in El Salvador and was met by 15,000 people protesting the Central American Free Trade Agreement. And people came from all over Central America to protest this, not just from El Salvador, but they were calling Bush an assassin. They were also calling into question the so-called war on terrorism. They were calling into question ALCA, FTAA, and Plan Pueblo Panama. And I think it's really good that we're seeing this kind of opposition. Last week, there was, a quarter of a million people at least in Barcelona. This weekend in Rome, how many people were there protesting? 2 million people. So across the world, there is a tremendous backlash for the neoliberal agenda. But, I mean, we got to be always be vigilant, always got to watch these bastards. And I'll tell you what, I think that they're going to have some rain falling on their parade because I think people are waking up all around the world that this is not a sustainable model of existence and the people are starting to rise up from the ground up.
Dan Stein. Environment's my favorite issue. Want to conjure up an image of corporate boardroom of Monsanto, who is probably the number one fomenter of genetically modified organisms and crops and forests and such. Forests I only just learned about. Imagine somebody saying, well, if they knew what was in it, they wouldn't buy it. So, boys, we ain't going to tell them. Vermont had a law requiring milk containing or produced using bovine growth hormone, synthetic bovine growth hormone, to be labeled as such in the supermarkets, and Monsanto sued and got that law overturned. No doubt whatsoever what the corporate agenda is. If they think it will get in the way of profits, they will run roughshod over whatever rights they can find, that, and they'll do it. We have to stand up for it, or we are going to be toast. Latest one, you have heard of food irradiation. Maybe you don't like the idea of food irradiation. Maybe you love the idea. Most people don't like the idea, and in, I think, a lot of places in the world, it's banned. So in the United States, where it's not banned so that they'll get rid of some of the resistance to buying it, they decided that the little radura is still too clear. So they're going to call irradiated ground beef cold pasteurized. Be warned, you've heard it. Cold pasteurized means ionizing radiation irradiated. Doesn't make the food radioactive, but it creates all kinds of unknown chemicals that have never been evaluated, never even been identified. You don't want to be eating cold pasteurized food unless you really love the idea of food irradiation. Look, if you're starving to death, maybe irradiated food is better than no food at all, but hopefully we have better alternatives than that. Remember, corporate agenda is usually not good for you, regardless of what the corporations try to make you believe. Thanks.
My name is Jules Fishelman. I work with a bit with the Vermont Mobilization for Global Justice. As you may know, we have two senators in this state, Senator Jeffords and Senator Leahy, and as of this point, neither of them has come out against one of the key features which will help to allow Free Trade Area of the Americas and the new Central American trade area that's being proposed to get passed, and that's Fast Track. And for those of you who don't know what Fast Track is, it's a series of laws which basically allows our senators to give up and waive their right, and therefore our right, to fully participate in the process of creating those type of trade laws. So they say, no, we trust you, George Bush, and you can do whatever you want here. We'll just vote you up or down. That's a bad thing, because we want to have a say in it.
Hi. I just wanted to encourage everybody, especially if you're out of town, to pick up a copy of the Burlington Resolution Against the FTAA. The city of Burlington passed a resolution against the FTAA last year. Yay. Burlington. Sign up here. So if you're out of town or if you know people that are out of town, please pick up a few copies, pass it around, encourage them to call their representatives, their local representatives, and just get the knowledge out there because it's pretty important, as we all know.
I'm Jason Ford, and I work with Action for Social and Ecological Justice, formerly the Native Forest Network in town. So I'm going to add some testimony about the effects of NAFTA and potentially the FTAA on forests and also jobs in the forest products industry in Vermont. We have had a $54 million trade relationship in lumber and wood, paper and allied industries with Canada in the year 2000. So we have trade is big money and big business just between our state. And that's an export. That's us exporting materials to Canada. Since NAFTA, it can certainly be said that the border between Vermont and Canada has opened a lot. And you can see that evidence on the interstate when you're driving, particularly if you're driving south or either direction, and you watch the northbound lane and see log trucks, 18-wheelers with Quebec plates heading north, and many times with trees from our forests. And in this environment of free trade that we have stemming from NAFTA, and it's certainly going to be strengthened by the FTAA, open borders means a rise in consumption and also a lowering of tariffs. Tariffs means a rise in consumption and also unsustainable logging practices. And there's plenty of evidence out there that can be cited to show this internationally. So free trade in the form of NAFTA and also the FTAA is going to be hurt our forests and our forest ecosystems. And it's also hurting jobs. I just want to give one quick example of sort of free trade in action on our public lands. There was a timber sale this past fall in Warren, Vermont. It was a sale called Lincoln Brook 2 on national forest land. And those are lands that are supported by our tax dollars. It was a small cut, about 80,000 board feet on 100 acres. And it was done by a local logging outfit called Claire Lathrop Band Mill. They're in Bristol. But the actual yarding was done by helicopter by an outfit called Columbia Helicopter from Florida. They're based in Portland, Oregon. After the cut went through, the maple in the cut, red maple, which is the big moneymaker, was put on trucks and driven south to Boston Harbor and ended up in China for maplewood flooring. So not only do you have our forests being cut and period, there's that whole issue, but there's also the fact that you have raw logs leaving the country, and that's a lot of potential jobs all the way down through into construction products as far as jobs that could benefit local communities here. Between 1993 and 2000, there were 365 jobs lost in the state of Vermont directly from NAFTA in the industries that I mentioned. That's lumber and wood, paper and allied products. And we've seen since then that figure has gone up by easily 100 or more. And in small forest, working forest communities in Vermont, that's a lot. It's a monoculture economy in a lot of cases. That's the employment that you have, as Jonathan was mentioning earlier. We've had mill closings since then. Ethan Allen Furniture up in Island Pond, scores of jobs lost in that closing, which was, I believe, within the last 6 months. Kimberly Clark earlier this year closed with 80 jobs going. And the major environmental issue now in Vermont, and I'm just wrap up with this, is becoming infamous is the Champion Lands deal. The Champion Lands were thousands of acres, hundreds of thousands of acres in what we call our Northeast Kingdom that were owned by Champion International, which is a great example of the legacy of the cut and run with the timber industry with free trade. Champion devastated the land that they were logging and then pulled out on the local people who were getting a living from that and headed off elsewhere, out of the country's borders, elsewhere, out of state. So you have trashed forest lands, you have corporations with no commitment to communities, not paying taxes, and now you have an issue that's totally, once again, dividing the state over what to do with the leftover lands. So there's a lot of evidence out here that right here in Vermont, because of NAFTA and definitely with the FTA coming down the pike, if we don't stop this, that not only are we going to be destroying our forests, but we're going to be taking jobs right along with that, because the two are totally combined. So we need to fight the FTA, and we keep on fighting NAFTA and educating people about it. And the more that we make connections on labor and the environment between the labor movement and environmentalists, the better off we're going to be in this fight.
Hello, my name is Rachel. I'd just like to make a comment on something that Oren was saying about how there are all these protests to meet Bush when he went to El Salvador. But I saw this great picture in the New York Times the other day of these little kids making American flags and getting all excited for his visit. And I think there's a really big, like, skewed perception in what we get in the media and what's actually happening. And that's because, you know, just like the police treat protesters the way that they do because the system requires them to do it that way, the media treats us the same way. Because with the concentration of wealth being as it is, the people who own these massive corporations are also the people who own the media. So, like, 2 or 3 years ago when Time Warner merged with LA Times and they completely disintegrated those boundaries between advertising and news stories, that's going to continue happening, and we have to be sure that we recognize that, and in doing so, support local independent media. I don't know how many of you know this, but in this town, we have Free Radio Burlington, which is 87.9, as far left as you can go on your FM dial. There's there's Democracy Now! Every day from 6 to 7, Free Speech Radio from 7 to 8, and then local community DJs from 8 to 10, News Show from 8 to 10 on Sunday nights, and every day except for Saturday, I think, there's news. So listen up, because there's a lot to be heard.
Hi, I'm Ashley from the International Socialist Organization. I just want to make a connection between the FTAA and the current war on terrorism, because I think what we have to see is these are two arms of the same beast. They're doing the same thing through two different mechanisms. And if you look, the embodiment of that is George Bush. Just look at what he did in Latin America this last weekend and week. He went down there and said, okay, I want to jack up the war in Colombia, and I want to give you free trade deals. It's either guns or trade deals. If you don't take our trade deals, we hold you over a barrel with economic incentives. If you still don't cave into that, then we get guns aimed at you. So I think that it's very important as we start to rebuild the global justice movement, to confront the FTAA, to stop it, we also have to confront square on, front and center, Bush's war, because he's using it as a cover to ram through the entire neoliberal agenda. And they're very self-conscious about it. They're boasting about this. In Foreign Affairs, which is the mainstream magazine for the American ruling class, where they lay out the whole thing, they say, it's time to bring back imperialism. We need it for economics, and we need it for guns to enforce our economic rule. I think Bush is overconfident in this, and it's starting to backfire. The demonstration that Oren talked about in Barcelona, the lead banner of that demonstration, which was 250,000, giant demonstration, was against the Europe of capital and war. That is, people are starting to draw the connection more dramatically in Europe than we are drawing it here in the United States. And I think it's our responsibility to make that connection and then mobilize on that basis for the April demonstrations. April 19th through 22nd is all the issues you hate about the world in one weekend embodied in Washington, D.C., where we can say no to their agenda. Stop the war in Colombia, stop the so-called war on terrorism, which is U.S. terrorism, actually, and protest the IMF and the World Bank, and protest Ariel Sharon, the butcher of Sabra and Shatila, who's going to be wined and dined in Washington, D.C. on Monday the 22nd. So people should get involved, get on the bus, get in the vans, get in your cars, show Bush. We can give him hell here at home like the rest of the world gives him wherever he appears.
My name is Doyle, and I wanted to mention the FTAA's privatization of services aspects. And one aspect of the privatization of services is the predation by the corporate sector on K-12 public education around the world. And that includes here in the United States. So the kind of vision that that entails is public schooling run by Mitsubishi or Monsanto or McDonald's or AOL Time Warner as a for-profit venture, with our children being seen as the future workers of the global economy. Complete dehumanization of education, going further than it already goes, which is pretty egregious, if you ask me. So I just wanted to draw the links between an education which values standardization and high-stakes testing is the agenda of the neoliberal economic model. High-stakes testing is about punishing kids and teachers for thinking for themselves, is what it's about, and questioning things like FTA and questioning the curriculum is not allowed. So I guess I would encourage everyone to talk about these issues with teachers and parents and kids, and encourage them to draw the links that the corporate curriculum is also about FTA, and it's also about privatization, complete privatization of public education, which has traditionally been a virtue of democratic society, that we all have the right to free and public education, which is about to be taken away from us. So that's another thing I want to touch on. Thanks.
Hello. I'm not a woman, but I'm going to be someone's wife in August. Thank you. It's going to be at the Square Road Fair in Glover, our local to loco festival. It's going to be there. You guys should all come check it out. There's information at Bread and Puppet. My story is about women, however, and women and weapons, tying into what Ashley was talking about. I was in Chiapas a couple years ago, and I was in this place where a bunch of people had died, but I didn't really think about it. I was doing my, like, Zapaturista thing down there, and, you know, I thought that was cool, you know. We were all hanging out, you know, and I was... There was this guy, Jose, and some of my friends were interviewing him. I was hanging out with these girls, you know, trying to be like, hey, I'm a Zapaturista too, you know. And Jose was given this interview. He was given this interview, and he was talking about how I was in Acteal, and how U.S. weaponry was used in the hands of paramilitaries in Acteal in 97, and they killed his wife and his mother. And several other women in his family as well. A quarter of the population of that village was murdered during that that invasion by paramilitares. And he said that they were hunted through the woods for several days, como venado, like deer. And they had to hide, like, in the bushes. Something that's going to be happening all over Latin America and throughout the rest of the global south as these neoliberal trade deals come through is that people are going to be being trained by organizations like this former School of the Americas, now the Western Hemispheric Murder and Mayhem Society or whatever. They're part of their agenda, part of their express and published agenda is that they're going to enforce the economic policies of the United States through whatever means necessary, which means training people how to you know, in counterinsurgency efforts, and their first goal. I mean, they're well tied in with the Latin American economic occupation of the FTAA. So I think that's just something that I think that we can focus on. That's more, a little bit more chilling than some other economic and jobs-related things. Is that people are going to be murdered as they start to voice dissent and take to the streets.
Hi, I'm Annie, and recently my friend Kate and I back there, we were able to get to go to Cuba for a fair amount of weeks, and while we were there it became just kind of fairly clear to me that that was a revolution based on love and people choosing love versus going with the standard fear that has been placed, like, you know, not just now are people, you know, going to be killed, and, you know, it's been going on for millennia in time and space that we all know it, and speak up, and it was just fascinating to realize the true experience versus theory of, oh, can we choose love in revolution over fear, and to actually be around people, like, through all the families that I got to stay with and travel with, and my friend Kate as well, to just see that that's what the people really chose versus when someone's sitting there slaughtering their family members in front of them, that they said, okay, I might choose love over that, you know, education and people working for each other. And it was just really quite brilliant to be around that. And along that lines, it was kind of fascinating that then when I came home, I was able to see more clearly in that whole kind of cliche that when you're away, you kind of get that perspective of just kind of the day-to-day work that everybody around me is doing just in their individual lives, choosing certain things in their lives that they're doing, that all these little pieces that everyone plays, you know, whether it's just kind of something as big as this in a sense or just a small little moment of saying hello to someone. And it was something that my sister had said to me when we were in Cuba, that, you know, probably the most revolutionary and radical thing anybody can do is to live their truth, because it helps to just build a really strong, slow foundation versus, you know, one person standing up and getting everyone all rallied behind them and then someone slandering them and then they're crashed down. But, you know, just that truth of each individual, you know, really tapping into what your truth is and having the courage to live that. And so, in a sense, I thank you all for having the courage to come here and for all of you for doing that as well. So I just wanted to say that.
Okay, I'm saying two final things. One is that we gave you some ideas today about how the FTA is affecting Vermonters and more specifically some key areas. There's a lot we didn't touch on. I mean, there's some materials over there, but as an example, there are patent rights that will allow corporations to profit from native designs and traditional knowledge that indigenous groups have of herbs, of plants, and of cultural craft designs and DNA. Yeah. as an example, Native Americans right now are losing $1 billion a year because of cheaply made foreign fakes, which are coming in because they can't protect their own design patterns, which have been in their culture for centuries. And they're the poorest minority in the United States. They have about, on average, 30% poverty. The other thing I want to mention briefly is that apparently the corporations who are running maquilas in Mexico and El Salvador and everywhere else are beginning to decide that 52 cents a day is a little too much, you know, $1.12 in Mexico may be a little bit too much, and now they're starting to do something called subcontracting, which means they're hiring people to work not in a factory, but they're hiring women to work in their homes where they have nobody else to talk to help them organize. They have no way to compare what wage rates are, and they're paying people even less than the people are making in the factories. And women are taking these jobs because it's a way they can earn a little bit of money and still watch their kids and do the other work they need to do. So this race to the bottom is going out of the factories and into people's homes as well, where it's even harder to try to fight it. So we need all of you to be involved and to fight like hell to win and oppose this thing.
And let's remember what FTA stands for. Some people may choose somewhat stronger language. In public company, we usually say frag the Americas agreement. And in Spanish, it's ALCA, which stands for the Accord for the Legalization of Colonization of the Americas. This is the perspective from the South. So whether you live in the North, the South, East, or the West, the FTA is bad. Let's fight it. Let's defeat it.